You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to a special edition episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. We're going to have plenty of basketball to discuss over the next day or so. It's going to be a very busy 30 hours for the Rockets. They take on the New Orleans Pelicans tonight at Toyota Center. That wraps up a four-game homestand. Then immediately after the game, they get on a flight to Minnesota. They get to Minneapolis in the middle of the night, and then they will take on the Timberwolves Saturday night at Target Center. Be a very fun trip for everyone going since it's, well, minus 25 degrees, but at least it'll be a quick in and out for the Rockets, and they won't have to spend too much time up there. They come right back to Houston, and then they get ready because, well, Tuesday night they host the Spurs, and it's absolutely going to be a big showdown because the Rockets are right in the mix, not just for a 4 seed or a 3 seed. The Spurs are in sight for a 2 seed as well, and all the metrics show that the Rockets have a team comparable to San Antonio. They've already beaten them once, so it should be a very great atmosphere next week at Toyota Center. We'll have plenty of basketball to discuss in the days ahead, but for now, I do want to give you guys my final thoughts on the Donatas Moneyunas situation. Obviously, the news came out after yesterday's podcast. That's why we didn't discuss it. We've been talking about it for some time because, well, he's been doing this restricted free agency dance with the Rockets for 5 months. We all expected a positive conclusion, and when the new contract was drawn up last Friday, we all thought it was an enormous win for the Rockets. A great contract, a player at very... with a lot of upside at very limited risk to the franchise. So it seemed that finally the situation had come to an end. And just when you think it has, well, it hasn't. Except now I think it actually is, but the resolution is not positive in that Moneyunas will no longer be a Rocket. The team renounced his rights. He's now an unrestricted free agent. Pretty clear signal that he won't be returning because, well, if the Rockets were open to it at all, they would have kept him in restricted free agency, even if they wanted to avoid the latest contract over whatever may or may not have happened with the physical. If they had interest in keeping him, they would have kept him a restricted free agent to at least give them the option to match. For the Rockets to make him unrestricted and then put out a statement saying, basically, thanks to him for his contributions with 4+ seasons with the Rockets, that shows you that, well, Donatas Moneyunas in Houston, it's done. And what happened, I don't know if we'll ever know. We certainly don't at this point, but I think a lot of the narratives you're seeing out there, especially on social media, Facebook and Twitter, are misguided. First and foremost, this was not a chemistry decision. That is not how Daryl Morey operates. Yes, there were some awkward times with Demo and especially his agent, BJ Armstrong, but Daryl Morey makes decisions based on what he thinks is in the long-term interest of his basketball team. Moneyunas, he's been with this club, with its leaders for a lot of years. That locker room was very comfortable with him. They have a lot of friends in there. I do not think Morey was concerned about Moneyunas fitting in. I also don't think he was concerned about, well, the team is playing so well, why mess with something that's working? Because, well, you can always use more depth. And for Daryl Morey, even playing this well, it's just a third of one season. He takes a very big picture approach to this. And we know that 10 days ago, last Monday, not only did they keep Moneyunas when the contract was favorable to the Rockets, they actually matched the initial contract from Brooklyn, which included Moneyunas having full trade rights for a year. He could veto any deal outside of Houston. It also meant that the option for his 2017-2018 year, that initial contract, that option date was March 1st, which in all likelihood, unless the Rockets are going to cut him before the playoffs, and that's a rather far-fetched scenario in my opinion, if you're going to pay him $9 million this year, that meant that the Rockets were essentially guaranteeing him a 2-year contract. So I really don't think that in 10 days, a couple more wins against the likes of the Lakers and Kings dramatically changed Daryl Morey's perspective. Something substantively changed within the negotiations. It's not something like chemistry or the team adding a couple of wins in the interim and the Rockets saying, well, Demo's more trouble than he's worth. It's also another reason to point that out is that if it weren't that, it would set a terrible precedent for restricted free agents in the future. We know how the Rockets play restricted free agency. It's a dirty game, but teams have to use it. It's leverage the teams have, to get the best deal possible for their franchise. That's what the Rockets have done in the past. They've used it very successfully. If there were no extenuating circumstances here, then essentially the Rockets just let Monty Unis out of his restricted free agency, let him out of those shackles because he whined and pitched a fit. And if that happens, you know what happens the next time that somebody gets their feelings hurt in restricted free agency? They try to do the same thing, and before you know it, the Rockets' leverage is out the window. So again, I know a lot of people are saying, well, the Rockets don't need him, or they're winning, so it doesn't matter. No, this is a lot more complex than that. It's not that simple for a lot of reasons, as I was explaining. Now, as far as what actually happened, it's worth noting that the Rockets never said themselves that there was an issue with the physical. That was reported. Now, I think it's obviously fair to speculate that, but we don't know, and it's, you know, important to note that, because in this case, the Rockets never did announce the contract. This was not a situation like the trade to the Pistons that got voided, well, because it was announced, and then they kind of had to go back on it. This, while it leaked to the media that the two sides had come to an agreement, the Rockets never announced it, so while it could be the physical, I think that's a fair thing to wonder about, it also could have been something happening in negotiations near the end of the cycle, because while we heard about the agreement about midday Friday, and then it was Saturday afternoon about 5 o'clock when word first started coming out that there were some issues. Now, what happened here? I'm going to go through the scenarios because really, as I see them, there's just a small amount here. First, it's possible that, yes, he took a physical and the existing back condition just came back too risky. However, I don't really buy this for a lot of reasons. First off, keep in mind the Rockets have basically had Monty Unis as their property for 4+ years. Monty Unis had his back surgery on their watch. He rehabbed on their watch. The Rockets had to clear him to play. Then after the Pistons voided that trade, they went through all his medicals and cleared him again. That's literally earlier this year, guys. That's a few months ago. The Rockets, especially with this particular injury, whatever's going on with the discectomy, his lower back, any kind of instability there, they have been tracking that for a year and a half. So they are very aware of that situation. Secondly, Monty Unis obviously is not decrepit. He's been working out. He convinced Brooklyn to give him the initial offer. I'm not sure if Brooklyn did a full physical, but certainly they looked at some medicals. That was the report. So, yes, in theory, it's possible that an MRI or whatever kind of scan they did found something new. But since Demo is obviously moving around, and the fact that the new contract let the Rockets out after year one, remember, they had an option date pushed back until mid-July. So with that pushback until mid-July, essentially it was just a one-year, $8.5 million commitment. There was no long-term commitment made by the Rockets to Demo. They could get out of it after one year if they wanted. It wouldn't affect their free agency. And in terms of what that $8.5 million means right now, it's not like they can spend it elsewhere because the Rockets are over the cap. As you saw, now that Monty Unis is gone, they just re-signed Bobby Brown. It's not like they had any grand plans for that roster spot or that money. So again, if this were something to do with his back, I don't see why the Rockets would not just basically treat it as a trial balloon. Just 1 year, $8.5 million, see what happens. He adds some depth, and if it doesn't work out, if the back does get worse, then you can always just let him go in the summer. And maybe you could even trade him before because you'd have full trade rights. So again, it's not impossible, but the only way I could see, you know, the existing back situation being enough to completely void the deal is if the Rockets just saw something catastrophic to where they didn't even think there was a chance he could make it this year. And quite frankly, if the situation was that bad, I don't think Brooklyn clears him. I don't think Demo is working out and playing basketball. Because Demo knows these teams aren't fools. If his back is so bad that even a one-year contract is too risky, I don't think he thinks he can pull a fast one on teams during these negotiations. That's why I tend to take him at face value when he says, you know, it wasn't a medical issue. Well, maybe not directly, or at least not the known medical issue, because, well, you know, yes, of course he would have reason to distort the truth a little bit. You know, no one wants to be seen as a, you know, as medicals being a red flag. But in this case, it would be so easy to prove if the back injury were severe enough for the Rockets to walk away from this sweetheart of a contract that I just would be very surprised, not impossible, but I'd be very surprised if it were the existing back issue. Secondly, there's been a very popular conspiracy theory thrown around, especially on Clutch fans, I've seen it, that maybe the league office intervened. That the league office, there's some kind of quirk saying that, well, since the Rockets matched the initial contract from Detroit, they can't draw up a new one, that it's either the contract they matched or nothing. Again, not impossible, but I don't buy it for a few reasons. First off, if that's the scenario, I don't know why the Rockets just sit there quietly. If that were the case, the league office, and obviously that's a rather strict and arbitrary interpretation of the rules, the league office would essentially be screwing over the Rockets in this scenario. They'd be taking away an asset and money units that they clearly wanted on an extraordinarily friendly contract. I can't imagine the Rockets just going quietly into the night and accepting it if basically the league office was screwing them over. Remember when, now of course I know the vetoed Gasol trade ended up being fine for the Rockets long term because they used some of those assets to get James Harden, but 5 years ago when basketball reasons happened, the Rockets and Lakers, they screamed bloody murder about how unfair that was. Not directly, but they leaked it through sources. I just can't see the Rockets taking this lying down if some kind of funny business happened from the league office, because that sets an awful precedent. It hurts them from a basketball standpoint. I would just be very surprised if that's the way Daryl Morey were to handle it. I think somewhere along the line there would be a leak. Similarly, I think if that were the case, if Brooklyn were objecting, I think you'd see a leak from the Brooklyn side or the league office side. There are so many plugged-in reporters in New York City or with the league office, even guys like Woj, Mark Stein. If there were some kind of league intervention here, I have a tough time seeing that stay quiet, especially with so many people involved. The third and final piece to the puzzle, look at what we've seen from Demo. Now, he hasn't issued a full statement, but look at the tweets he's liked. Look at the tweets that he's retweeted from Joel Blank with basically calling out the Rockets. Now, I don't agree with those tweets. I think those are kind of misguided, but from reading the tea leaves, you can see pretty clearly that Monty Unis is frustrated with the Rockets. If the league office were intervening, I don't know why he would be frustrated with the Rockets. It would be basically the league office undoing the contract that both he and his agent, BJ Armstrong, agreed to with the Rockets. So, yeah, if basically the Rockets had a deal and the league office is just kind of walking in and screwing them over, then why in the world would Demo be upset with the Rockets? His frustration would be with the NBA in that situation. So again, while not impossible, I'm not going to rule it out, those are the reasons I don't buy some kind of league office Adam Silver conspiracy theory here. One more thing I should point out related to the league office conspiracy theory. I don't think Daryl Morey would let him out of the initial offer sheet if that were even a possibility. It's not hard to stay in dialogue with the league office. There are cap guys, and Daryl Morey knows who they are. He's been a GM for 10 years. I feel pretty confident that before Daryl Morey let him out of the existing contract, put him back into restricted free agency, and negotiate a new deal, I feel pretty confident that he at least gave, you know, a quick phone call or a text, an email, something to people at the league office, just making sure that the steps he was taking were legal. Because this is a fairly unprecedented situation, and I can't see Daryl Morey, as experienced, as good as he is, just freelancing. I feel pretty confident that before any of this happened, he ran it by the league, at least partially. So for all those reasons, I'm not really buying a league intervention scenario. So if it's not the existing back issue, and it's not the league intervening, what could be left? So, to me, there are two things. Number one, maybe the physical found something new. Maybe it's, you know, a direct medical issue. Maybe it's something else. It's not fair to speculate what that is. But I tend to lean to this scenario because if they found something a little off the wall in there, and trades fail for bizarre reasons all the time. Remember the Robert Horry, Sean Elliott thing back in the mid-90s failed because of the kidney thing that turned up. Now, I'm not saying that at all with Demo. This is, you know, it's not fair to speculate. But clearly the Rockets were taken by surprise here. And so if it's the existing back situation, again, I can't see anything being that shocking given the amount of data they have, their knowledge of the condition, and knowing all that, the Rockets in July and ever since, as recently as 10 days ago, recently as a week ago, I should say, still had Monty Unis clearly in their long-term plans. So I can't imagine anything with the back, or at least the condition we know of, being that surprising to do a 180-degree turn. So it could be something else, and I could also see Monty Unis being frustrated because, well, he thinks he's healthy and he feels fine, and of course he thinks the Rockets have all information on his medical, so perhaps it's something very different that the physical found. That's a possibility. Another thing, and it could be a combination of that and some kind of late breakdown in the contract negotiations. For example, we know that David Pick, the European reporter, well tied in with Europeans like Monty Unis, reported that part of the bonus scheme was that Monty Unis would have to consent to 4 scans per year of his body. Now, that was the bonus scheme, not the direct contract, but maybe there's some other kind of little clause like that to the contract that Monty Unis objected to in the latter stages, and then at some point the deal started falling apart. Or maybe it's a combination of the physical showing, you know, a few red flags, and then Monty Unis not really wanting to take the appropriate legal steps to, or not legal steps, appropriate just medical steps to kind of make the Rockets feel comfortable, give them assurances that whatever this red flag is not going to pop up. And then before you know it, the deal unravels. And I'll say what I said leading off this show. You have to note that the deal was never signed. This was never announced. So again, while we all took it as a done deal because Woj and everybody else reported it, it never actually came out. So it is fair to speculate if there was some kind of last-minute hang-up in the contract negotiations. Now, we may find out more in the days ahead because certainly we haven't heard a statement from Monty Unis or his agent, but I kind of question how much we will truly find out because here's the thing. If it's what I suspect, which is that there's some kind of, big piece to the puzzle that we don't have, and especially if it involves his physical or any sort of medical background, it does not benefit Monty Unis for that information to get out to the public. Even if he's defending himself against the Rockets, before you know it, you combine that with the knowledge everyone already has that the Pistons voided a trade for him because of a medical condition, and a reputation gets out there. So I think it benefits everyone to keep it confidential. Demo, you know, if the information isn't out there, he can just, you know, come up with whatever excuse he wants to come up with. And the Rockets, you know, everybody likes Demo. He's a likable guy. He's given him 4 good years. He's been a tremendous asset to the team in the community, so they don't want to hurt his future earning power. And so I think it's just one of those situations where the principal people involved, if it's what I think it is, it just benefits everyone to keep it quiet and not let it see the light of day. So eventually, yes, I would think something is going to come out because Monty Unis and BJ Armstrong, they're going to need some kind of story if they expect other teams to, you know, take them seriously and make an offer given how much, how obvious it is that something clearly fell apart in the latter stages here. They're going to have to come up with some kind of a cover story, but it may not make sense, it may not be fully truthful, and it may not be that detailed because, well, it is a cover story. The truth, we don't have it yet, and honestly, I don't know if we ever will. I think it's one of those things, I don't know if it can remain a secret forever, but my guess is that it will slowly leak out over time. I don't know if there's going to be one initial bombshell, you know, a tell-all where Daryl Morey picks a reporter and says it. I think it's just something that's going to slowly leak over time to connected sources, and maybe over the course of months, even years, we'll start to get a better picture as to what happened. Anyway, I'll wrap up, and with that, hopefully we can close the book on the chapter of Donatas Moneyunas with the Rockets. It's not what we hoped for, but after seeing this start to unravel over the past week, it's certainly not shocking. If they got that kind of a deal and there were still holdups, it's pretty clear that whatever is going on is in fact significant because that contract posed very little risk to the team at all. Now, what will Monty Unis' absence mean for the Rockets? Well, in some sense, you can't miss what you never had, and the Rockets are 19-7, winners of 8 in a row without him, so that's the upside. And you can also say that, you know, his biggest strength which is defense, a presence in the half-court offense, ability to be, you know, provide them more of a thicker presence as opposed to the athletes they have up front now, the likes of Capella and Montrezl Harrell, Sam Decker as your backup four, Ryan Anderson as basically a range four. Monty Ennis would give you a little more defense, a little more versatility. Well, it's worth noting in the past month, besides Montrezl Harrell coming on, Nene has gotten a lot better. His defense has improved. He had some key stops late against the Nets and Brook Lopez. That was a kind of matchup where Capella was exploited some. But the metrics I've seen show that Nene is making strides on that end. If they're able to maintain him properly, and that's a big if because he's already had some kind of knee soreness, he is 34 years old, so none of this is going to come easy. But if Nene can stay healthy, then maybe he can give you a lot of what you thought you'd get out of Monty Ennis in terms of being a thicker, more half-court-oriented presence in your front court. Now, Nene is never going to be as good of a defender as Monty Ennis is. That's just the reality. All I'm saying is that Nene is your best hope to at least get some of those skills. And like I said, where I really worry, it's not so much defensively, it's offensively where I felt like the Rockets could really use Monty Ennis, not just the passing, but the presence of a big who can create his own offense on the low block, someone that can do things when the ball gets stagnant, when it comes to half-court play. And in terms of your options within the roster to replace that, Nene has, you know, I have cautious optimism. He's played a little bit better the last couple of weeks. And truth be told, when you look at the internal options, he's going to be the big candidate to replace what Monty Ennis could bring to the table. We'll learn a lot more over the next week because, well, Saturday night, Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota, then the Spurs with Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge, then you've got Memphis with Mark Gasol at the end of next week, so you're going to have a lot of big teams. You have the Clippers, DeAndre Jordan, and Blake Griffin, so you're going to have a lot of physical teams over the next 2 weeks. We'll see how Nene handles it, but he's your best option internally. And also, there's the matter of Montrezl Harrell. Now, on paper, he's a very different type of player than Demo, but whereas Nene can pick up some of the offensive slack, Montrez can handle some of the defensive things because his ability to switch on anything, play out in space, that provides you some of the defensive ability that you would have with Montrezl Harrell, with Donatus Monty Ennis in your front court. So the continued development of Harrell and hoping for good health from Nene, I would say those are the X factors to watch in the weeks ahead as the Rockets try and make up for, well, again, you can't make up what you never had, but certainly I think they were expecting to get Donatus Monty Ennis added to their front court. They did not, so now you have to hope they stay healthy, and those two guys, again, it'll be kind of mixing and matching. That's one of the things that's going to hurt is that it's going to put more pressure on Mike D'Antoni, whereas with Monty Ennis, you'd have one guy that could do a lot of things. Now you're going to have to mix and match more. Well, if you need that offensive low post game, maybe that's time for Nene. If you need more flexibility on defense, maybe that's Montrezl Harrell. So Mike D'Antoni is going to have to do a little more work himself. He's going to have to feel it out. Good news, well, Mike D'Antoni's the coach of the year so far is voted on by Mark Stein at ESPN. There's a new column today, but certainly that adds to his list of responsibilities. Hopefully he's capable of handling it. And the other thing, quite frankly, it's just the injury issues. So far, the Rockets have not had major injuries except for Pat Beverly in the front court. You have a lot of pretty good players, none that you really count on every single night. So if there is an injury, then yeah, that's where not having Monty Ennis could especially be glaring, but no injuries so far, and knock on wood, just hope for the best. Anyway, with that said, hopefully that's the last time we mention the name Donatus Monty Ennis on this podcast. I'm sure a lot of you guys are sick of it, because he hasn't even been with the team since really early May, I believe, when the Rockets went out against the Warriors. I just felt compelled to offer my closing thoughts, because certainly this has been a very bizarre last 2 weeks ever since the offer from Brooklyn, both them matching the offer, which surprised some people, then the deal falling apart when Monty Ennis did not report, then the new deal, which was incredibly positive for the team, and whatever's happened over the last week to make it fall apart. So anyway, that's my final thoughts on it. Hopefully that answers a lot of your questions, and from here on out, we'll get back to the basketball because there's going to be a lot to discuss this weekend. Tonight, Rockets in action at Toyota Center against the New Orleans Pelicans, then flying immediately to Minnesota to play the Timberwolves on Saturday night. And I'll be talking with you on Twitter and on here throughout and after those two games. Anyway, until then, I will sign off. Thanks again to all of you guys for listening. This is Locked On Rockets. You can email me at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions for me or if you'd like to inquire about becoming a potential sponsor. Again, I'm Ben DuBose. Thanks to everybody for tuning in, and I'll be chatting with you again throughout the weekend as the Rockets get back in action. Now 19-7, winners of 8 in a row, looking to keep it going against the Pelicans and Timberwolves the next 2 nights. Enjoy your weekend.